Ready to go.
All right, thank you. Good afternoon, Council. This is the time set for oral argument in Doe versus Doe, docket number 49702. We are conducting this argument via Zoom. Arguing on behalf of the appellant is Chris James. Arguing on behalf of the respondent is Adam McKenzie. Mr. James, are you ready to present your opening argument?
Yes, I am.
Go ahead, sir.
Thank you. May it please the court. My client, she gave birth, as the court is well aware, on December 20th, 2019, and the father died tragically in April, shortly thereafter, of the following year in 2020. And this put my client in an extremely difficult position as a young mother, struggling financially. And she realized that she was not in a position to care for this child and made arrangements with the paternal grandparents, petitioners, to take care of this child while she went and worked on her issues. And as we presented at trial, she did work on these issues. And well, let me just back up. One of the things that my client lives in Montpelier, Idaho, the paternal grandparents were in Idaho in the area during the summer, but approximately the end of that month, they went to New Mexico, which is a fairly significant distance, especially for if you don't have many financial resources. And that prevented her from having trips to see, go down and see her child. And she worked through the issues that she needed to, as we presented at trial. Her grief, she worked with finding a job so she could be financially able to take care of this child and work for us, got an apartment where she could have a stable home, and also dealt with her substance abuse treatment issues. And these things did not always go well and took some time and probably more time than she would have liked. But she made improvement throughout, and that by the time that we had the trial, that she was in the best position that she had been in to be able to take care of the child. There was an agreement that that the grandparents would take care of the child. It was certainly a loose agreement. There was not really any issues of time set. Or how long or payment of child support or anything of that nature. This just went on. Now, certainly there was not a great deal or hardly any interaction between the parties as this went, as this continued. My client was working on the issues that she needed to. And she did not neglect this child in that, she wanted someone to step in, and she knowing that she was not able to on a temporary basis. There was also a guardianship done at one time so that the grandparents would have some legal standing with insurance and various issues like that. And so she continued to, as I said, worked through her issues and made sure that her child was well taken care of. She is now in a position, as we presented at trial, to take care of this child and be the single parent for this child. She sincerely loves this child, and she has a fundamental liberty interest in maintaining a relationship with this child. And we would ask the court to find that she did not abandon, neglect, or that is in the best interest for this adoption to take place. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. James. Mr. McKenzie, argument on behalf of the respondents.
Thank you, and may it please the court. The magistrate in this case got it right. There wasn't an error here. This case started in July of 2020 when Ms. Bennion came to the halls and said, take this little girl because I can't do it. She was in the midst of a drug addiction. She was using drugs, heavy drugs. She was using methamphetamine. And her statement to the halls at that time was, I'm going to Oregon to go find myself. In her own testimony, she said she was going out to Oregon so that she could get a new life, so that she could get a job, find a place to live. None of that happened. She came back to Idaho, and rather than taking this little girl back, she left her with the halls. We have a month of July of very little or no contact between her and her daughter. It was all on the Hall's shoulders. There was no support given. There was no help or assistance given. We roll into July, and July is done. We move into August, and council has made this argument that New Mexico placed this incredible burden on Ms. Bennion to be able to exercise her parent time. The fact was, is that in August, the Halls and Ms. Bennion had a discussion. Ms. Bennion knew that the Halls lived permanently in New Mexico. She knew where that was at. She knew those things. And she agreed and said, it's best for JJ to go with you, for this little girl to go with the Halls. They all agreed to that. And the testimony at the trial likewise confirms that despite that, the Halls made every effort to try and maintain communication and involve Ms. Bennion in this little girl's life. But it was Ms. Bennion that refused to avail herself of those opportunities. She made the choice not to come. When efforts and arrangements were made in October of 2020, she had nothing but excuses. She had nothing but excuses to not go. When November comes around, and so, mind you, she's not had any personal contact with this little girl since July. So we have August, September, October, all through November. And finally, in November, the Halls and their family made the arrangements, provided the transportation, get her to New Mexico. And what does Ms. Bennion do? She sleeps through the majority of that visit. And in her admission to one of the Halls' daughters, she was using drugs during that visit. We move through December. No face-to-face time, only excuses. When efforts were made to set up a time for personal contact, only excuses. We go to January, February, March, April of 2021. That was, in fact, the last time there was any kind of a phone or video contact between Ms. Bennion and her daughter. And since April 2021, there's been nothing. Even when she knew that this case was going to be moving forward and her parental rights were going to be terminated, she still had no contact, no effort to reach out to the Halls to say, can I see my daughter? Can I talk to her? And her own testimony was, is that the Halls have never denied that to her. She made the choice. It's noteworthy in her written letter that she submitted to the court at the time of trial. She herself, in quoting what she says, I, instead of holding on to my daughter and treasuring what I still had, I pushed her away. She pushed her away. It was no one else's choice but hers. In her testimony during trial, she makes the statement, I didn't make any attempt to get my daughter back. because I knew I was not the best person for her to be around. She further states in her testimony that in her own mind, and I think this is what it boils down to, counsel would argue that it was finances, it was the distance from Idaho to New Mexico, that was the reason. The real reason that she testified to at the time of the trial was not those things. Those weren't the reasons why she didn't facilitate or create this relationship. It was her drugs. And she says in her testimony on page 114 of that transcript, lines 2 through 4, you're making excuses, saying this to herself. You know you're being neglectful. You know you're choosing substances over the things you actually love. That's what this case is about. Miss Binion has consistently made choices to choose drugs over her child. And now we're at this point where she has come, and at the time of trial, she comes back and she says, I now have a job. I have a stable place to live. I'm clean and sober for 60 days. And lists all of these reasons. But even she, in her own testimony at trial, said she's not prepared to take this little girl. She was not there that day to say that the Halls should not have this little girl. She even testified that it was in her best interest that she remain with the Halls at the time of this trial. Her aunt testified to the same thing. She's not ready to be a parent at this point in time. And when we look at through the process of her testimony at that hearing, we find the car that she said that was hers was not hers. It was owned by her grandfather. The home that she lives in is her grandfather's basement, which is unfinished basement. And even she testified it's not permanent. She's only there until her grandfather passes away, at which point the family will likely sell the home. She has no bank account. She had at the day of trial to the assets other than the car, which it turns out was not hers, $13 to her name. Added to all of this, when we look at what her employment was, she has a history of unstable employment. At the time of the trial, she said she worked at Denny's. She was being paid under the table at Denny's. She worked when she could at Scott Burns Construction. There's no evidence, nothing in the record to show that she has any stability in her life now or in the near 2 years since she surrendered her role as a mother when she gave this little girl to the Halls. That she's made some improvements, that she's clean, is laudable, but as is cited in the cases in our brief, and I hate to put the word to it, but it seems too little too late. She has gone all this time without building any relationship whatsoever with her daughter. Her daughter doesn't know her. Mom and dad to this little girl are the Halls. They've been there for all the firsts. They've been there to wipe the tears. They've been there to provide the care, the health, the nourishment. And when we talk about neglect, going back to the statute, that statute is very clear. That if the parents, because of whatever reason, are unable to provide or care for the child, that's neglect. The inability to provide necessary medical help, care, and treatment, that's neglect. And by her own testimony, she has been unable to do that from July of 2020 to the very present time. Even more telling and even stronger is the fact that she hasn't abandoned this child. Abandonment under the statute is the failure to maintain a normal parent-child relationship, which she has not done. She has not maintained a normal parent-child relationship. She has not been in this little girl's life. This little girl doesn't even know her as mother. Everything, mom and dad are the Halls to this little girl. She's not provided support, and she's had no face-to-face contact, person-to-person contact since November of 2020. No phone contact since April of 2021. When you look at all of these facts, and notable that even she, after the Halls had testified, their daughters had testified, even she acknowledged to the court that she did not disagree with anything that was testified to. The record clearly shows substantial, competent evidence of abandonment, of neglect, and that it is in the best interest of this little girl to remain where she is and to have these parental rights terminated. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. McKenzie. Mr. James, do you wish to present a rebuttal?
Just briefly, yes, please. And my time I have left is?
Appears to be 15 minutes.
Okay, thank you. As to the support issue, support was never really discussed. It was never asked for. And my client did, in fact, provide some WIC benefits to the child, even though it was a minimal amount. And as in trial, and obviously we get the cold transcript here, but I think even through that transcript, it comes through that my client, she poured out her heart, and she was totally honest. And at trial, it's very obvious she was very grateful to the grandparents for all they've done for her child, and to take her place when she was unable to. And it really would have been fantastic if she could have, in July of 2020, if she could have simply taken a few months and fixed her problems and got onto a sober lifestyle, also a job, also everything else that she needed to be a parent, get over the grief that she was going through. If that could have just been handled shortly, that would have been fantastic. But obviously that did not happen. And she obviously did have a lot to overcome. And she did make a lot of progress. There was a guardianship in place that certainly could have continued. And while the progress was slow, I don't believe it was too little too late, and we'd like to have the opportunity for her to have not have this adoption go through and have the opportunity to be a parent to her child. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. James. The court appreciates the arguments of counsel. The case is taken under advisement, and a written decision will issue in due course. The court will be in recess until 9 a.m. oral argument on Thursday, August 4th. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.